are the only ones that can serve God. You got to be born again before you serve. Amen. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. These people did not use their circumstances as an excuse not to serve. They used their circumstances to be an example to others how to serve. Verse 3, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, thus they were willing servants, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Inasmuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. And we said this morning that you ought to be abounding in all things. Verse number 8, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Not only we had the example of the Macedonians in service, we had the example of our Lord himself, humbling himself and becoming a servant and ultimately dying for our sins. Verse 10, and herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. If the Macedonians could do it and the Lord done it, why can't we do it? That's what he's telling the Corinthian church, what seems to be your problem. You spend a lot of time talking about what you're going to do and not much time doing what you talk about. Amen. Do we find ourselves sometimes doing a lot of talking and no work? He said, verse number 11, you've been talking about it in verse 10. He said, here's my advice. Verse 11, now therefore perform the doing of it. The Lord penned the phrase, just do it, before the world did. Amen.
Amen.
Just go get it done. And that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Locklear, good to have you with us tonight. Would you add the blessing on the Word of God?
Yes, sir, brother. Lord, as we pause in your presence tonight,
yes, God, help us.
Joy to be present in the house of the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
I can honestly say from the depths of my soul, there's no greater place to be.
Yes,
no
God.
No better place to be down here
yes,
on
Lord,
earth and gathered in your house.
Was clearly to speak to you,
people. Worshiping thee.
Yes,
thank
Lord.
You, Lord, for the service thus far.
Yes, Lord.
The singing of the song.
Thank you, Lord.
The time of fellowship, God.
Yes,
we thank you now for the reading
lives,
of the Word, God. We're looking forward to the preaching of the Word, God. I thank you for what the Word done for me, Lord.
Yes.
August 10th, 1980, somewhere around the noonday hour. You came
thank you,
my
Lord.
Way.
Yes.
Made you home in the depths of my soul.
Thank you, Lord.
And it's a joy then, and it's a joy even now,
amen.
God, in
yes.
serving you.
Thank
Lord.
You, Lord.
And I pray now for this service tonight, God, that you'll meet with us in a special way, that you'll help the pastor.
Yes,
God,
Lord. Yes.
Anoint him with the power of the Holy
yes.
Ghost. Rest upon him tonight.
God help.
Give us itching ears, Lord, tonight. Not to hear a lie, but to hear the truth.
Yes, yes.
But the truth. And help us to what we hear, to nail it up in the gable ends of our soul.
Yes, God, help. Change, Lord.
We praise you for all that you do in Christ's name.
Amen. You may be seated. Appreciate that, my brother. Take your Bibles and turn with us, if you would, to the book of Matthew, chapter number 14. Matthew chapter 14, the first book in your New Testament. We said that the question or the thought for the message this morning and tonight is, are you willing to serve? We saw in the example in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 this morning that to be willing to serve, you must be willing first of all to give yourselves, according to verse number 3 of 2 Corinthians 8. not only be willing to give yourself, you should be willing to do the will of God, no matter what it is God puts before you. Once God shows you the will of God, according to verses 11, we need to perform the will of God. Amen. Get it done. Amen. And the only thing God expects out of us, according to verses 12, is what we have. What you have. God's not expecting something someone else has. God just expects you to use what you have. It might not be much, but if God is in it, little is much when God is in it. We ended this morning's giving the thought of this story over here in Matthew chapter number 14. It's also found in John chapter number 6 about the feeding of the 5,000. The little boy had a little lunch is all he had, but little was much when God was in it. Amen. He was willing to give what he had. He was just like we said this morning, Isaiah was when he heard rumor that the Lord needed something done. All Isaiah did was get a little whiff of God speaking, and he said, "Here I am, send me. I'll be the one. I'll volunteer." I believe, and it doesn't record in the Word of God, and when you say, "I believe," I know how sketchy that kind of stuff gets, but it's never recorded that the little boy said, "Hey, look what I got." Maybe he heard the disciples and the Lord speaking about it, and then he said, hey, I got some lunch, and if you want to have mine, we'll share it with all. And he had enough faith to believe that, hey, what I had can feed everybody, amen. That's the kind of faith we need, amen. It might not be much, but when God gets in it, he can make sure he meets the needs of many, amen. So here he is over here, amen. Every saved person has a will in them. Romans chapter number 7 and verses number 18, when Paul's talking about that struggle between the flesh and the spirit, he said, "The will is present with me." There's something inside you if you're saved that desires to serve God. Now, I know our flesh desires to serve the world, but in the gable souls that the brother said in his prayer, and a saint of God, there's something inside of you that wants to please God, that wants to serve God, that wants to do the will of God in your life. Now the problem we know is in Matthew 26 verse 41, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Weak. There's something within us. I want to show you a few things. Or first of all, some excuses in this passage of feeding the 5,000. Matthew chapter number 14, look in verse number 14. Matthew 14:14, that says this, "And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick." We see our Lord as a servant, see having compassion on others. Maybe the reason why we are not willing to give ourselves for others and for the work of God is because we have no compassion. We have no hurt within us for those that we're trying to be used of God, if you will, to heal or to give them the word of God or give them something to get them down the road. We see our Lord, when he saw the great multitude, he was moved with compassion. The Spirit of God inside of you desires to help someone in need. It is the spirit of the flesh that wants to meet your own needs, but the Spirit of God inside you wants to help another. Here's the Lord moved with compassion. What did he do? In verses number 15, the Bible said, and when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." Here the Lord Jesus Christ is with a great crowd that's been following him. And the Bible says one of the first excuses it was when it comes to trying to help somebody or to get them away so we can meet our own needs and take care of ourselves. We're always trying to get away from our responsibilities, get away from a helping someone else, and they come to the Lord and said, "Hey, just send them boys away. Let them go buy them something to eat. I'm sure they're hungry. Hey, we'll have us a little meal. We'll have us a little picnic. We'll have you all to ourselves and let them do what they need to do." Hey, what was the problem when it comes to serving these people? Hey, one of the first excuses I see in our passage is the lifelessness of the place. They said, "Hey, it is a desert place. It's lifeless out here." Amen. Hey, how in the world are we going to find something to eat to feed 5,000, much less ourselves, in a lifeless place? It's dead around here. Amen. There's no life around here. Amen. How in the world can we do something to help somebody in a dead place? And we're not careful, we get the same mentality in our world as far as service. Well, it's a dead world, preacher. We're living in the last days. Perilous times shall come. And, you know, it's just dead out there. Nobody wants help. And, you know, it's just dried up. Amen. Hey, stop using excuses why not to help somebody and just find somebody needing something and say, God, here I am. Use me to help somebody. Amen. One of the excuses I see is the lifelessness of the place. Hey, well, not only the lifelessness of the place, but you see the lateness of the time. They said, hey, verse 15 again, it was evening. It's late, man. It's late. It's a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. What are their excuses for not feeding the 5,000 and being a servant to those that were right before them? Right before them was a ministry that they could fulfill. Right before us, every day of our lives, we're faced with avenues and possibilities that we can be used of God to help someone. And we can use the excuse of the likeness of the place. Hey, some people get like that in church. You know, they say, well, it's dead in there. Amen. Ain't nobody excited in there. Well, why ain't you excited? Hey, why are you going to sit there and grumble about how dead it is? Nobody's shouting. Nobody's worshiping God. Hey, stop using excuses why you can't get involved. Just say, hey, let me be the one to bring some life. Let me be excited. Amen. Hey, there's something I can do. Not only do you see the lightness of the place, but the lateness of the time. It's night, man. It's evening time. It's too late to do something now. You know what? You're not careful, the devil will give you an excuse. Well, it's too late for you to do something. Well, it's just late in your life. It's late in your time. It's late during the day. I got to get home. I'm in a rush. Amen. I know I worked a long shift and honey's got supper at the table and I ain't got time to speak to anybody or be used to help somebody. Just let them go by the wayside. Hey, you better be careful. You'll be wasting your time that you could have been used to serve God. Amen. Excuses that we make, the lateness of the time. How much time do we make excuses like that? Well, my life's a rat race and I got so much going on. I really ain't got time to get to church tonight. I really ain't got time to do this. It's just too rush and too you know, just excuses one after another. Right. The disciples said, hey, the place is lifeless. It's a desert. The lateness of the time, the limitness of the treasury. Hey, all we got is 5 loaves and 2 fishes. The treasury account looks pretty slim. Amen. Ain't really got much. And by the way, in the parallel text, you don't have to turn there. I'll read it to you. Stay here in Matthew. I want to show you something right here. But in John chapter number 6 in verses number 5, they said this to the Lord. He said this, John 6 in verses number 5. The Bible said, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him, he said unto them, Philip, when shall we buy bread for these that they may eat? Don't you see there's a need here? Do you know where we can get some bread? Do you know where we can get something to help them? You know what he said in verse 6? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. 200 pennies worth? You know what he's saying? Hey, our treasury account's low. All we got is 200 penny worth. What can we buy with a little bit of money we got? You know what? Sometimes we'll be limited on being a servant for the Lord by looking at the treasury account, looking at the banking account, looking at your resources, your money, and we'll start questioning God. Well, I can't be used of God. I don't have no money to do this. I don't have nothing to do that. Our resources are low. Hey, preacher, how can we help missionaries all around the world? We're just a little country church. We really ain't got that much. And we start limiting God and what God can do. Amen. Hey, put your faith in God. If God's got some ministry before us, God can do it. Amen. If we'll just step out by faith. Amen. Well, we're already supporting a lot of missionaries. How can we take another one on? Amen. Hey, we can't hardly keep the bills paid that we got. Amen. If God puts it before you and God can meet the need. Amen.
Amen.
Yep. So it's the limitness of the treasure. Maybe the littleness of the table. Verse 17. And they said unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. The table's pretty limited. It's little. It's not much. And by the way, according to verse 21, the Bible said that there's 5,000 of them. We see the largeness of the throng, not counting women and children. So here we are with a lifeless place in a desert, a late time, the limitations of the treasury, the little bit that we got on the table, and then the largeness of the throne. We say, hey, man, what are we going to do? I mean, what are we going to do? Do we not seem like we make the same kind of excuses when it comes to serving God, why we can't do it? Let me tell you why I can't tithe. Let me tell you why I can't come to church. Let me tell you why I can't do this and why I can't do that. You just hang around people long enough, they'll make an excuse to try to justify what they do when it comes to service of God. You know what the Lord said, and this is what we need to learn when it comes to service? Look at me in verses number 16. But Jesus said to them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. They're saying, hey, just send them away. We don't have, Jesus said, hey, there's no need for them to leave. There's no need to rush them off. I know what time it is when I asked you what we're going to do. I knew how much was in the treasury. I knew what, he said, Jesus said unto them, they need not depart, give ye them to eat. Amen. Hey, what do you need to do when it gets like this and we start making excuses for service of God? Hey, just bring them to God. Amen. God's the one that got the answer. Jesus Christ had the answer for the multitude. It wasn't in the treasury. It wasn't in their abilities. And it wasn't in the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That's not what the miracle had. The miracle was God himself. Amen. And we lose God in the picture of this ministry of serving God because we're looking at everything physical and don't exercise faith in God. Amen.
Amen.
You know what he said? Have them set out. It's not as bad as you think it is.
Amen.
You know, we get into the service of God. Sometimes we think, man, my life's a drag and it's hard and it's toilsome. It ain't that bad.
Amen.
You want me to prove it to you? Look at this right here. He said, hey, no need for them to leave. No need to rush them off. Look at what happens when Jesus Christ manifests himself in the midst and they put their faith in him. Verse 16, but Jesus said unto them, they need not depart, give ye them to eat. And they said unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said, bring them hither to me. Just bring them right here, boys. I am the bread of life if you forgot, amen. There, I am God if you hadn't forgot already, amen. Hey, how many times in our service do we get our backs against the wall and we think, man, I know God's asked me to do this, but I'm thinking about bailing out. I know God's put me here, but it's getting a little bit too hard, and I don't know if God really knows what he's doing. You ever do that in your life? You ever lose a little bit of faith? Amen. I don't really know, man. I'd kind of question, and I'm not sure. It's dry, man. The ministry's dry. The banking account's getting low. I've been trying to serve God. I've been trying to do what's right. I've been obeying the word of God. I've been walking with him, but I just don't know about it now.
Right.
You get like that in service?
Yes.
You serve God long enough, if you ain't been there, you'll get there. You'll get there. Let's hold on, amen. The question is, when you get to that point, what will you do? What will you do when it gets that way? Will you be willing to bring it to Jesus? You want to see the changes that take place from verse 18 once they bring them to Jesus? Look in verse number 19. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on what? The grass. You see that? Do you remember what they told him? It's a desert place. It's lifeless out here, man. It is dead. There's nothing out here but a desert. And Jesus said, bring it to me. And then you see grass. Have them sit out on the grass. Man, you ever been in the desert and see grass? I've been out there in the Arizona desert. There ain't much grass. Amen. Ain't much green nowhere, man. Hey, but where God is, there's life. Amen. Hey, once you bring them to Jesus, then you see something that you really didn't know was there. There was light there all the time.
Amen.
There was light there all the time. How many times in our service for God do we think, damn, there's no life, and there's been life there the whole time? Your life was blinded by your circumstances, by your excuses, and God had what you needed.
Amen.
The desert place is now a place of grass. He says, hey, boys, let them sit down. Now we're seeing grass. Hey, the lifeless place has become a place of green pastures. Amen. Hey, that's those green pastures he talks about in Psalms 23. Hey, thank God. God knows what we need. Amen. In service.
Yes, sir.
Excuses. But now that it's been brought to Jesus, now there's grass in the desert. By the way, not only is the light, we sing the lateness of the time after they saw the desert place. Now nobody's mentioning the time. Nobody said, man, you know what time it is? Hey, you've been in services and feel like it's dead and you're looking at your clock all the time. But then you get in there and God's in there doing something, nobody's looking at the watch. Man, it don't matter if we went over 12 o'clock. It don't matter if it's 12:30, man. It don't matter if we started at 6 and now it's about 7. Ain't nobody in no hurry, man. Hey, God's doing a work. There's a service being going on. Our time don't really matter. It's just redeeming the time of the days of evil. Let's do something for God, amen. Hey, set them down, man. Who cares what time it is? Who cares how late it is? God's doing a work, amen. Now time doesn't matter. Have you got a time in your life when you're serving God and time really don't matter? And you look back and say, where'd the time go? And you really don't care where it went because you was having such a good time. You remember those times when you used to come to church and it didn't really matter what time it was? Because God was doing something and your life was in tune with God and you wanted to hear from God. And it didn't matter how long it took to hear a message and get something from God. You were in for the long haul because I wanted to serve Him. You know, the ones that are trying to rush out of church, the ones that really don't worry about serving God. They want to come in and just show their face and make it look good. You know, I showed up, ease your conscience a little bit. All I do is go to church 3 times a week anyhow. The things that go on outside of those 3 times of service, amen, really don't matter in my life because they're not a servant. But now service is going on. God's doing something. Then boy said, hey, set them down, man. You know how long it took to set 5,000 people down, not counting women and children? To organize such an event like that? Nobody's mentioned the time. Nobody even thought about the time. Not only that, we've seen the time doesn't matter now, and the limitations of the treasury really doesn't matter neither, because look in verse number 19. The Bible says, he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed. Those limitations have been blessed by God and break and given and gave the loaves to the disciples and the disciples to the multitude. What did he do? Amen. Hey, the desert place is grass. It really doesn't matter about the time. And now God's dividing and making more.
Come on, bro.
Now, on our calculations, that doesn't work.
Right.
What do you mean? Well, if I wanted to make more, we multiply. Right? Hey, man, you take something and multiply it by 3 and you got a great amount. 3 times the amount that you had. The Lord doesn't multiply. The Lord divides and makes more.
Amen.
And what is the Lord doing? He's showing you that, hey, when he's in it, it is a lot. Amen. And God can take the little bit that you got. All he wants is what you have. That's all he said in Corinthians is what you have. I don't need a much, amen. I don't need a good bit. I just need you to be willing to let me dispute you here and there and do whatever I want to do with you because I can make a lot out of nothing.
Preach it, bro.
He's not limited. He's not limited. God's dividing. And his dividing made more. There was so much that 12 baskets were left over. Amen. The littleness of the table now has become lots. Amen. The limitations of the treasury doesn't matter because God's making more. The largeness of the throne doesn't matter because all of them get full. Well, all because Jesus said, bring them to me. What made the difference in the text? They were brought to Jesus. Verse 20, they all did eat, were filled. They were filled. They took up the fragments that remained 12 baskets full, amen. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. Someone said, you ever thought about what the boy did when he got to the house to his mama and he left with 5 loaves and 2 fishes and come back with 12 baskets? What his mama thought? Where'd you get all that? Well, you just said, and let me tell you about a man I met.
Amen.
You know what I found out serving God? I always come out on the better.
You're right.
I always come out on the better.
Yes.
I mean, you can't out, someone said, you can't outgive God, and it said over and over and over, you can't outgive Him. You can't outdo Him. Amen. God makes a lot. Amen. God just wants to know if we're willing to serve Him. Hey, get rid of the excuses. Bring it to the Lord. Hey, say, God, here I am. Whatever you want to do. Hey, give me faith to trust You and do great things with my life. Amen. All it was a little boy with a little lunch, and God's fed a multitude in a story that's been preached for ages over one willing servant.
Yes, sir.
You don't think God's done much with it? Not only did God do much with it then, God's done much with it through the ages. And the possibilities are endless of what God could do with someone's life that's willing to say, God, it ain't much.
Amen.
I ain't never really been much. And in my abilities, I can't make much. But if You want to do something with this, here it is. Here it is. You know what God's been doing all through the ages? He's been making a lot out of nothing.
Amen.
We read the stories of great preachers in the past, great missionaries around the world, great servants of God, and they ain't nothing great in them. The greatness was in their God. They were just willing to be used of God. Amen. Being willing to give what they had to God. Amen. Are you willing to serve? Hey, some are just willing, like we said this morning, just for a season. John 5 and verse 35, talking about John the Baptist. He said he was a burning and shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. You know what's sad in a child of God's life is somebody just to be willing for a season. Just for a little while, amen. Hey, I think about season. I think about 2 Corinthians, Timothy chapter number 4, where he says, preach the word, be instant in season and what? You know what's wrong with some people? They just in season. Like the people that you were willing to rejoice in Him for a season. You were willing for a season. You know, I'm talking to some people tonight. Your life, if you look back, all it is your life was willing for a season. Oh, that season might have been 6 months, might have been 6 years, might have been a little while, but now you're just on the shelf and ain't being used of God. Why just a season? Why are you no longer willing to be used of God as a servant? Well, I've been hurt preaching. People has done me wrong. Who hadn't been hurt? Who hadn't been done wrong? Well, people have talked. Who hasn't been talked about? Amen. Who hasn't been ridiculed? Who hasn't been used? We said this morning, hey, if you're going to be a servant, your life's going to be used. Hey, the Lord's life was used. Amen. Hey, every saint of God's been used and abused. That's no reason to give up on God. Hey, God wants you for the long haul. Amen.
Amen.
Are we willing? Are we just willing for a season? God's looking for people that's willing to give their lives to Him, no matter what. Maybe I'm talking to someone tonight and God been dealing with your heart since this morning about your life, and you know it's just been a season. You've been out of season for a while. You ain't been willing to be used of God. Oh, somebody offended you in the church. Somebody didn't talk to you the way you thought they ought to talk to you. Hey, when did God ever do you wrong?
Amen. You're right.
Who called you into that ministry anyhow? Who called you in the ministry of a servant? It was the Lord. And when you realize who you're living for, it doesn't matter how others treat you. I know it hurts, amen, but everybody gets their feelings hurt. I mean, if the Apostle Paul would have quit when his feelings got hurt, he'd have never went through everything he went through that he said over there in the book of Corinthians.
Right.
You know what? There's no getting out place, man. There is no getting out.
Yeah.
Where are you going to go if you do get out? The disciples looked at the Lord and said, hey, when they all forsook Him in John chapter number 6, and He said, hey, will you also go away? Hey, where do we got to go?
Amen.
I mean, where do I got to go? What else do I got to do? When it comes to the ministry, all my chips are in, man. I went in blind. Y'all ever play cards? It's a sin to play cards, they say. You ever play cards? Amen. Back in the day when they didn't have television and the internet and all that garbage, that's what all the preachers preach about, playing cards. Now that's a byword now, amen, amen. We got so much other ammunition to preach from, amen. But you know what you do? Sometimes you go in blind. I'm all in. I'll push all the chips in the table. I ain't even looking at my cards, man. I'm in, flip them up, and whatever happens, happens.
Amen.
That's the kind of faith you need with God, man. I'm all in. I don't need to see the cards. I don't need to see the end. I don't need to see the benefits or the things that are against me. Hey, I decided by faith one day that, hey, God, here's my life. If you can do something with this, I'm just glad you'd do something with this. I don't even know why you'd acknowledge me. I don't know why you'd count me faithful and put me in the ministry. But, hey, if you want me, I'm all in. Let's go. Amen. You know what I can say? I've enjoyed the ride.
Amen.
Have there been some hardships? Oh, yeah. Has there been some doubts? Oh, yeah. Has there been some times you thought, oh, yeah, it's been there. But you know what? There's nowhere to go. There's no getting out. There's no turning around. By the grace of God, here I am. Thank God for the ministry you've given me.
Amen.
That's the kind of faith we need when it comes to serving God.
Yes.
When you get like that and you just, no matter what the excuse is, when you get them and they pop up, bring them to Jesus.
Yeah.
He can make something out of them.
Amen.
You know what we like to do when we get excuses?
Right.
We bring them to someone else.
Amen.
What do you think?
Right.
Well, you could have done that with the 5 loaves. 2 fishes. Philip could have said, oh, Matthew, what do you think? Well, man, I've been around a long time. I've counted taxes and added up some numbers, and we ain't going to feed them with this. You know? Thomas, what do you think? Well, I don't think nothing works. I've doubted everything I've looked at, man. I don't know. You know? We start talking to others. And most of the time we try to find somebody to believe like we believe before we ever talk to them. If you want an excuse to quit serving, you can get one.
Amen.
When it comes to service, amen, God's looking for real Christians.
Yes, sir.
You can find an excuse to quit. You can find an excuse to back up. Amen. They are all around you, man. Hey, but God said, let's go. Let's go. Are you willing? Is it just a seasonal thing? Is it just an excitement? Is it just something in the air that man, you just get on it and go and then it fizzes out? You know, the tabernacle in the Old Testament was made by willing people. Look at this. Look in Exodus 35. Let me show you a couple of examples. Exodus 35. It was made by willing people. God does great things with willing people. Genesis, Exodus would be the second book in our Bible. And in verse chapter 35, the tabernacle was built by willing people. You know why God has allowed us to have the little bit that we do have? And I think it's much with God. Because willing people. You know why we're able to hang flags up all over the church that shows where we support missions around the world? Because people are willing. Willing. You know why we're working on a building project right now? Because people are willing. God's just looking for somebody willing. Somebody to volunteer. Somebody that don't need their arm twisted. Somebody that don't need some kind of gimmick. Somebody that don't need some kind of trick to get them involved. Somebody just says, you know what? I'm glad I'm saved. I'm not going to hell. God's been good to me. And if he would like to use me, I'd like to be used.
Amen.
I might not have the ability so-and-so has, but if God would like my ability, he can have it.
Amen.
If he wants to do something with my ability, I'm in. Willing to give themselves. Willing with what they have. The tabernacle was built by willing people. Look in chapter 35, verse 5. He said, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it. An offering of the Lord, gold and silver and a brass. Anybody willing? Let him bring it. Verse 21, he says, and they came everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation for all his service and for the holy garments. And they came, both men and women, and many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets, all jewels of gold. And every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. You know what? These are people of all the tribes saying, hey, I want to be a part. I got something I can give. Do you know what they could have did? Well, the ministry's just for the Levites. They got the tabernacle. They got the service of the ministry. Hey, why should I give so they can do what they do? You know, that's the way people are. Well, I ain't giving to the church, and all the church going to do is use my money and abuse it. Oh, you can find an excuse, yeah. They're out there, man. There's crooks everywhere. What are you going to do, use a crook for an excuse not to do right? They were willing, man. This is what God wants. I'm in, brother. I'm ready to do my part. Verse number 29, he says this. He says, for the children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work, which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. Hey, God wanted to do something. They wanted to be a part of it. They were willing. The tabernacle was built. God done great things with it because somebody was willing. Never been a tabernacle, never had those things if you never had nobody willing. You know what the people can look back on? Tell their generation behind them, Lord, let me have a part in that. Lord, let me have a part in that. Tell the grand youngest when they go by the tabernacle, look at the things in the sacrifice, Lord, let me have a part in that. I remember when we took up the offering for it. Lord, let me have a part in putting the church van in the church, you know. Lord, let me have a part in ripping out some walls and making the sanctuary bigger. Lord, let me do something on it. Lord, let me have a part in sending missions work around the world.
Yes, sir.
Well, I sure am glad he let me have a part in it.
Yes, sir.
I sure am glad they passed the plate by me one day.
Yeah.
Oh, we can sit back and say, well, all the church is about money. Yeah, well, you can find an excuse. Well, they always won't take up a dollar, you know. Come on, man. If you feel like that, you've missed the ball altogether. Altogether. They were made by willing people. Look at God's warning to Solomon. Look in 1 Chronicles chapter 28. 1 Chronicles 28. Willing. Are we willing? Are you willing to serve? Can God count on you?
Yes, sir.
2 Chronicles 28, look in verse 9. Look what God said. Don't let the devil make you think because of your inabilities or somebody having more of that than you, whether it be talents or material things or whatever they are, to cripple your faith and that God wants to use you.
Yes.
Well, I can't do it like them. God never asked you to do it like them. God just asked you, can I use you? No, I think about the Lord when he got in Peter's boat over there and he went out and launched out a little bit and he preached to the people. Let me borrow your boat, boy. Oh, sure, Lord, you can have it. You want to use my boat? Help yourself. You know what he could have said? Well, there's some more nicer boats down the road. Some people's got more, a little bit more equipment. And you know, whatever. No, I want yours.
Yes, sir.
You know what God wants? He wants your boat. The Spirit of God speaking to your heart. He wants you. That's who he wants. He doesn't want someone with eloquent speech. He wants you. You know why? Because when it's all said and done, you ain't going to do nothing but look back and say, buddy, if it weren't for him, it wouldn't have never got done.
Yeah.
There ain't no glory in this boat. There ain't no glory in this talent.
Yeah.
Amen. There ain't no glory in these abilities. But boy, let me tell you about what my God has done. Let me tell you about what he's done through me. Brother, I guarantee you it wasn't me, but boy, I'm glad he used me. He warns him here in Chronicles. 1 Chronicles 28 and verse number 9. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing what? Your heart's right. Your mind's willing. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. I want to say, preacher, that's an Old Testament text, somebody being cast off. I believe it's applicable that if you would seek the Lord, if you'd be willing to be used of God and never forget where God brought you from, God could use you, but he could put you on the shelf.
Amen.
He could say, you know what? You just for a season, you don't want any more? Okay. You don't want to do it? I'll find somebody else. Moses, when he began to make excuses about his speech, the Lord said, you don't want to talk? I'll get Aaron. You can be replaced. I know you're Moses, but it ain't Moses, it's the God of Moses. Matter of fact, amen, when Moses done what he did, amen, smiting the rod, God said, boy, you ain't going in. Joshua's leading them in. Oh, Moses is a great man. No, nobody throwing stones at Moses. But you know what God said? You're just human, boy. You can be replaced. Amen. You need me more than I need you. You want to be used? You know what God does to those that he uses? Just like God, he rewards. He rewards. He's keeping count. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. He's keeping count. God just wants to know if you're willing to serve.
Amen.
Where have all the Christian servants gone? Why is it that most of the time you've got to twist somebody's arm to try to get them to do something?
Come on,
bro. Why is it that we got some good people around here? And if it don't fit you, you know, hey, glory be to God, thank God for it, but don't get lifted up because you could get like that. But why is it that some of you, it don't matter what you do. What you do is all you're going to do. It doesn't matter what I say, no matter what we preach, no matter what, you know, what you've done is all you're going to do. There's no advancing in your life. There's no growing in grace. When you got saved, what you got, man, that's all he ever got out of you. Why is that? Why is it that some won't serve? Well, maybe should you just ask the question, how do I serve? Let's take everybody out of the equation. How do you do it?
Amen.
You know? Like they said, you know, if everybody in the church showed up like you do, what would the church attendance look like? Don't worry about anybody else. How you do it? If everybody in the church tithed like you tithed, what would tithes look like? If everybody gave to missions like you, how would the missions look? If everybody took their time in cleaning the church like you did, how filthy or clean would it be? You know, service stuff. If everybody done their job in the yard like you do, men, how would the yard look? If when we have something special and they cook to bring food, if everybody brought like you brought, how much would we have to eat?
Right.
You know, just ask them. If everybody treated people like you treat them, how would all the people be treated? If everybody had the spirit you have, what kind of spirit would we have in here? Well, that's not my job. That's this one's job and that one's job. No, it's all of us.
Amen.
God's looking for servants. What if the little boy would have never said, hey, I got 5 loaves and 2 fish. Think you can do something with this? If our church is going to go any further, if the Lord tarries, and people are going to step out and these children are going to grow up and learn the Bible and grow up and be teachers and do stuff. If you're the hope, what kind of hope do we have? If we're going to sit there and just drive with what we got, I'm not content with what we got. Well, preacher, I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. In a certain extent, I'm content on what the Lord's doing, but I'm not content in sitting on it. I don't know about you, but I'm looking for greater. Oh, good number on a Sunday night. Not many people have church service come. People come back to church on Sunday nights like we got. But I want more.
Amen.
You know? I want more. Hey, we've had 3 little kids get saved lately. What a blessing.
Amen.
I'm looking for the 4th one.
Amen.
You know? Had a couple of visitors coming to church. I'm looking for more.
Amen.
I'm looking at, hey, what can I do to help this thing go? Where can God use me at better? Okay, we can just sit back and say, man, what we got's a pretty good thing. I mean, we send a lot of money out in missions, man. We're doing some good stuff. Better than the average, probably. You know? We hear preachers come in all the time and brag on our church on the spirit in here and how this thing works and what we do, but hey, we can sit back and just get comfortable with that, or we can say, hey, we can do more.
Come on, brother. Preach.
Yes, sir,
brother. If we're willing to serve.
Yeah.
Now, if nobody's willing to step up, take up the mantle, and go forth, we ain't going no further.
Right.
Some of you young children are getting at a transitional age that maybe God's going to say, hey, I'm putting my finger on your heart tonight.
Amen.
I want more out of you than what I've been getting.
Sure.
I want more out of you at school than what you've been giving me. Can he have more?
Preach, brother.
You know what God does? He don't have to do it, but he does it. He rewards. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 17, for if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. How much of what we do is willingly?
Amen.
When it comes to being a servant of God and serving the Lord in all the avenues that we serve God in, how much of it is just, I'm glad I can do it. You know? I'm not worrying if anybody else knows what I give. I'm just glad I can give.
Yes, sir.
I'm not worrying if anybody notices me coming to church. That's not why I'm coming. I'm just glad I can come.
Amen.
I'm not worried if anybody sees me grabbing gospel tracts and witnessing on the street. I'm just glad I can do it, man. How much of it is willing?
Amen.
And how much of it's fake? You know what it'll boil down to and what's going to really happen? If it's not willing, and it's not in your heart, and you've not given yourself to God, and in turn giving yourself to people like they did in Corinthians, and found the will of God in your life, you're going to find yourself just doing it for a season.
Yeah.
You're going to be like those people in John 5. They were willing for a season to glory in the light of John the Baptist, but that was it. Because
yeah.
You're going to burn out. Because it's not for God. It's not with a willing spirit. To you, it's become a burden, a task, a duty. If I don't show up, people's going to look down on me. You know? If I don't do this, what they going to think? Get a genuine heart and say, you know what? This is what I got. And if God wants to use this bit, he's got it.
Amen.
Here it is, man. It might not be what somebody else does, but you know what? I'm not worried about that. I'm not worried if I do it like they do it or how they do it, if I got as much as they got. What I got's God's, and he knows it, and I'm just joying serving him.
Amen.
Who's willing?
Yes,
heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Who's willing? I wonder if you've heard the voice of the Lord today challenging you. I wonder how many of us as children of God really just sit around looking and waiting for an opportunity. Oh, I can do something there. Count me in, man. You got me, God. You know what we need? We need people to get back sensitive to God, listening to the voice of God, that unseen hand they sung about this morning. And when God leads, step out by faith and go. Go. And look back and look what God did.
Yes.
Do you have testimonies in your life where you can look back and say, boy, look what God did right there. I'd have never thought it, but boy, it sure, man, look what he did. Look what he's doing. Look at the great things.
Yes.
God's looking for some willing servants tonight. Can he have you? Can he have you? If you're here and you're lost, he wants to have your soul. He wants to save you. Are you willing? I said it this morning, I'll say it again. Maybe someone here lost tonight. You're going to think, preacher, I've done a lot of bad things. God can't do nothing with me. Oh, yeah, he can do something with you. Oh, yeah. If he can take a demonic man in Mark 5 and sit him down and put him in his right mind, do something with him, he can do something with you. If he can take a man on the road to Damascus that went with letters to kill Christians and the bad things he did and do something with him, oh yeah, he can do something with you. If he can take a woman at the well that gave her body to lie with men and abuse herself and make something pure out of her, he can make something out of you. All God wants to know if you're willing. You know when God saved me? When I was willing. When I was willing to say, buddy, like the songwriter said, in my hand, nothing I bring, but simply to the cross I cling. I ain't got nothing, God, but if you'd like to have this, well, I'd love to have you. God save your soul. God will save your soul. God will make something out of you if you just let him. Sometimes as our young people, we sit around and we look at people God's using in the ministry, and you don't know the history behind them. You don't have a clue what they were before God got a hold of them. You look around these preachers in here and these servants of God, your Sunday school teachers, and you look at the things that they do and these musicians and what they do. Man, if you knew what they were before then, you'd say, boy, it sure is God. It sure wasn't them. It ain't us. It's him. Young people, it ain't us. It's him. It's the God we serve. Won't you come to him? Won't you let him make something out of your life? Sister, would you come play on the piano? Maybe someone still needs to come. People are praying, talking to the Lord. You do business with him. We're not going around trying to make anybody do anything. God's looking for volunteers. There's a lot that can be done. You're not being used of God, it's probably because you don't want to be used of God. That's probably all it is. God wants to use. Isaiah got a whiff one day. Isaiah 6:8. Here's what he heard. He said, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Isaiah heard the Lord talking to the second man of the Trinity, if you will. Hey, who are we going to send for us? Who's going to go for us? As Isaiah heard them speaking amongst one another, he said, hey, boys. Then said I, here I am, send me. You looking for somebody? Here he is. He ain't much, but if you want to use me, here I am. God speaking to your heart saying, hey, I'd like to use somebody. Can you hear the voice of God saying, hey, I'd like to use somebody. I can sure use somebody in this area. Boy, I could sure do something with somebody over here. Would you say, here I am, Lord. I'm the one. I ain't got much, but if you take what I got, here it is. According to that he have, not according to that he have not. Who's willing? Everybody stand. Let's sing that first verse, just as I am. 81.